This week on Young Money Radio, we're going back to school and talking smart money strategies for students and their parents to make the college years more enjoyable and less of a financial burden. College is a time for learning, but many neglect a financial education while they attend school. Most experts agree that this is a big mistake that can lead to years of debt repayment after getting a degree. But many students leave school each year due to financial problems that they or their parents get themselves into. Young Money is here to help clear up some of those questions and give you some smart strategies you can use right now so you can ace Personal Finance 101. It's your life right now. Welcome to Young Money Radio. Well, hello and welcome to Young Money Radio. I'm Mike Sciano. So glad to have you along with us on this special Back to School edition. Today's show is made possible by the In Charge Education Foundation, a national nonprofit financial education organization dedicated to personal literacy education for all Americans. And by Young Money Magazine, distributed on college campuses across America. For subscription information, visit youngmoney.com. Welcome back to Young Money Radio. I'm Mike Sciano, and we're so happy to have you here for this special Back to School edition. We're excited to be getting a fresh school year kicked off and glad you're part of the show. And remember, you are part of the show, so you're always welcome to visit us online at youngmoney.com. Or if you'd like to send us an email, we'd love to see it. By all means, send your emails to radio@youngmoney.com. Well, just because you're in college does not mean that you don't have to deal with the real world. A small percentage of students, very small, have parents who help take care of every financial detail, from car payments to food to fund money and school expenses. But most students have to spend at least some of their own money and make personal finance decisions on their own. Some students are totally self-sufficient financially and might only call home in case of a major emergency financially, if at all. For those of you who have to deal with paying even just some bills on your own, today's edition of Young Money Radio should be very helpful. And we've got lots of tips for you, as well as some information for parents of college students. And we've been getting many emails with some great questions over the weeks, and we're going to touch on a couple of those that we think will be very helpful to you as you start a new, fresh school year. And hopefully you're not deep in debt and already behind the eight ball financially. You know, the amazing statistic is that 30% of college students will graduate with $10,000 or more in credit card debt. That's right. 30% of college students are now graduating with at least $10,000 or more in credit card debt. And 50% of college students, these are the latest numbers, 50% of college students are now graduating with $5,000 or more in credit card debt on top of student loan debt. So it can make starting a new life really tough. And one of the myths is that anybody with a college degree is going to graduate and get a huge paying job. Unfortunately, the statistics show that an entry-level position right out of college, even with an advanced degree, is generally not going to be in the same price range as what you dream of, and it's going to be tough if you're deep in debt right from the get-go. So some of the tips we have today are going to be very helpful for those of you who are just starting out, especially you freshmen. But for those of you who find yourselves in a little deeper trouble already financially, we'll provide some help to you today. And of course, we're always available to you. YoungMoney.com and Young Money Magazine, as well as this program, are designed to help you on an ongoing basis to deal with financial issues, whether it's debt or just making daily financial decisions. But let's start with some basics, because that's where you need to start, and that's where everyone needs to start. And for those of you adults who are listening, and we know you're out there, these tips are good for you too, because we know that 70% of working adults, 70%. And sorry to hit you with so many numbers right at the beginning of the school year, but they sometimes help illustrate how big the situation is. 70% of working adults are living paycheck to paycheck. And while that may not surprise you, what it does is worry us, because any interruption in that income flow, whether it's sickness, family breakup, downsizing at the company, whatever it may be, any interruption immediately will cause problems for that family financially. And that means they'll struggle to pay their bills, even their basic bills like rent or mortgage, car payments, gasoline, food, and medicine. And we don't want you to ever get into that situation. So whatever age you're listening, if you are in college or you're an adult or a young adult just starting off, just graduated, congratulations and welcome to the program that can change the course of your financial life and maybe other parts of your life as well. We'll certainly try to make things a little bit easier. Where do you start? That's the basic question I get, and I get many questions from Ask Young Money. By the way, we'll touch on a couple of those questions here live on the show. But the basic question I get most often is, Mike, where do I start? I know I need to do something. I know I need to be in charge of my money. But what's the first thing I should do? Should I start saving right now? I have a part-time job. Or should I invest? What do you suggest? Well, here's what I suggest. It's called a spending plan. And that's the first place to start. Many people call it a budget, and that's what your family may have called it if your parents mentioned it at all. What I don't like about a budget is that it sounds restrictive. Budgets to me sound like diets. And what is a diet? Well, it's doing without the things you love most when it comes to food. Same thing with a budget. Most people on a budget are thinking in terms of doing without the things that they really want. Not saying that you can go out and break the bank every day, but when you have a spending plan versus a budget, it's much more proactive, positive. You business majors will understand what I'm talking about. When I say that a spending plan, like a successful business, allows you to plan your income and expenses. Now, right now, your expenses may be a little ahead of your income if you're in school. So you may have other sorts of income like parents' help, student loans, grants, other types of income other than typical job income. But either way, you have a certain amount of money coming in, and you have a certain amount of money scheduled to go out. What your job is with a spending plan is to create the plan so that you're not spending more than you have coming in, which would then, of course, force you, in most cases, to borrow money at a high interest rate, usually from a credit card. That's the easiest source of borrowed money, if you can qualify for one. And most students can, because you've not had a chance to damage your credit much. And credit card issuers want to get a credit card in your hand as soon as possible. So a combination of having too many expenses and easy access to credit can put you in a situation of overspending and building debt. So you want to start with a spending plan, write down your income, write down all your expenses. Now, this may be tough for you, especially if you're just entering college. It may be a situation where you're not sure what all your expenses are. Well, that's okay, because plans are made to be flexible. So whether you have a lot of experience with what it costs you to live each month, or you're just beginning, it's smart to get started. And this is a monthly plan. The spending plan is a monthly plan for each month of the year. And I would suggest starting with the first month of the school year and making a 12-year calendar. And what you would do is take all the expenses and all the income that you know about. Now, if you're planning a summer job but aren't sure what you'll be doing next summer, that's okay. You can plan for a certain amount of income that can be adjusted later, but at least you'll have some idea. Always be conservative with your guesstimates, and that's what I like to call them on things like that. But there are certain bills, such as your living expenses, your food, car expenses, gasoline, those kinds of things that you can make a pretty smart estimate on. Maybe you have previous experience from previous school years that you can use, or maybe you can just make a really smart decision on how far you're going to be driving each day and each week and each month and different things like that. Of course, if you have a car payment, you know what that amount's going to be. Housing costs and those kinds of things might fluctuate, or they might be the same as well. So get those down. And the idea is to obviously get the income, get the expenses down, and then do a little bit of math, real easy, do a little of subtraction, and come up with the bottom line. Now, you may end up in a deficit. You may find that, wow, all of these expenses that I plan, and don't forget clothes and going out on the weekends or maybe during the week as well, if you're in college, sporting events, if you have to buy tickets for, travel back and forth to home. Just imagine when you start to think about it, you'll have a lot of expenses you're not thinking about right now. But be as detailed as possible. And you may be in a deficit, which means you have more expenses than income. Well, that can't be the case. Got to make some changes. You may just be at break even. And you know, in college, it may not be that bad to just break even. You just may cover all of your expenses with the money that you have available each month. And that's not a bad plan. After graduating in 4 or 6 years, you may end up with no debt. You may not have a big pile of money in savings, but you may not have any debt. Not bad to start off with no debt. And then, of course, if you have a positive surplus at the end of the month, that's the best place to be because then you'll have some decisions. Certainly, you could then use the surplus to invest. You could start a small business while in college, and I'm encouraging everyone to consider that. Or you might just put that money into a larger savings account that would be growing nicely during your years in college. Does that make sense? So that's where you start. Start with a spending plan. And if you need help with that, of course, you can email us, radio@youngmoney.com, if you have questions on how to create that. But it's simple. Just use a piece of paper and a pencil and a calculator and start writing. You don't need any fancy software or anything like that. If you do want to get a copy of a worksheet that you can download in PDF format, visit this website, inchargeradio.com, inchargeradio.com, and click on the resources button. And that'll take you to a place where you can download a worksheet that will allow you to fill in the blanks. But if you don't want to go to that trouble, no problem. Just start writing down your income and expenses by category, by month, and see how you stand. This is Young Money Radio. I'm Mike Sciano, our special back-to-school edition. You know, you're getting back to school, you're going to be buying a lot of books, whether you're buying them for yourself or for you parents who are listening. There's one book everyone should have, whether they're in college, high school, or an adult out in the real world, Credit Booster, the ultimate guide to a better credit score, brand new from the editors at the In Charge Education Foundation, is now available. It's a must-read if you want to learn about your credit reports and your credit scores and learn how to keep your credit score as high as possible and to deal with any damage that you might have on a credit report. All of us now are entitled to getting free copies of all three credit reports thanks to the FACT Act, that's a federal law, at annualcreditreport.com. We can get our free reports, but getting them is a lot different from understanding them. So when you get those reports and you want to understand what they're saying about you and whether your credit report and credit scores are helping you or hurting you, you want to get Credit Booster, Ultimate Guide to a Better Credit Score, to get a step-by-step, easy-to-understand explanation of what your credit report and scores are saying about you and how to fix any problems. You know, we found that 79% of credit reports contain mistakes. 79% may be something simple, but you want to know how to fix those mistakes. It's your right to have a credit report. All three of them should reflect accurate information. So if your credit reports are not reflecting the correct information about you, getting it fixed is a priority. And Credit Booster will show you how to do that, even including letters that you can download and simply fill in the blanks and send in to the credit bureaus, as well as lots more information, worksheets. And for more information, visit creditbooster.com. All Young Money Radio listeners will receive a 50% discount on Credit Booster. Just visit creditbooster.com, and when you order the book online, receive a 50% discount by using discount code YMRadio. That's discount code YMRadio. This is Mike Sciano, and you're listening to Young Money Radio.
What is Young Money Magazine? Young Money is the only money and lifestyle magazine written by young adults for young adults. Young Money features bold celebrity interviews, real-life strategies for finding your dream job, insider tips for starting your own business, and updates on the latest tech gadgets. Young Money Magazine is your life right now. Find out more at youngmoney.com.
You're listening to Young Money Radio. I'm Mike Sciano. Hey, if you have ideas for future segments of the show, a financial question, or if you'd like to submit some audio, like an interesting interview for possible use here on Young Money Radio, send your email to radio at youngmoney.com. That's radio at youngmoney.com.
Young Money Radio.
Welcome back to this special edition of Young Money Radio. I'm Mike Sciano, and this is your life right now. Thanks for being part of the show. We appreciate it. And this is our special Welcome Back to School edition of Young Money Radio, where we're talking basic personal finance, smart strategies that will help you start the school year and get through the college years so that you don't end up like a statistic with a whole lot of credit card and other debts that you need to start paying off and take years to do so. By the way, Young Money will be at the big Caltopia 5 event that's happening August 24th and 25th. It's a Saturday and Sunday event at Cal Berkeley. So those of you up in Northern California, especially those of you attending the school, we'll be really looking forward to seeing you at this major event. There'll be lots of excitement going on around this event. It's the Caltopia 5, and Young Money is a major part of it. We're excited about it. You want to learn more, visit caltopialive.com for all the details on the event, the schedule, even photos from last year's event. They've got entertainment and food, and, of course, Todd Romer and Daniel Jimenez from Young Money Radio and Young Money Magazine and YoungMoney.com will be there. So be sure to look up Todd and Daniel and say hi. All right. Coming up in a few minutes, we will go over a couple of great emails that we got. Our email address here at Young Money Radio is radio at YoungMoney.com. We're talking about smart strategies to get through the school year so you can avoid getting into financial trouble and make personal financial decisions a little bit easier. We started with creating a spending plan so you know how much money's coming in and how much you have going out. All through the time that you're in school, and this is good even after you get out of school, and as I said, those of you adults listening who are not necessarily in college, you're going to benefit from this special edition of Young Money Radio too. Tip two is to get organized. Keep your receipts, your invoices, your bills, anything pertinent. Remember now, if you're working even part-time, you may now have to start filing income taxes, those kinds of things. So staying organized is a good idea. Not only does it help you with income taxes, but it helps you keep track of your spending, keep track of what's in your checking account, how much you're charging on credit cards, what other bills you might have. It's very simple. When anything comes in that is of a financial nature, what I suggest is you obviously have a box of file folders, get them fresh, and they're usually pretty cheap at the college bookstore. Well, they're not that cheap, I know. But you can get them on sale sometimes at an office supply store. Just have them there. So when you get a new bill, you immediately create a name for that bill. You know, if it's a credit card, if it's a Visa, if it's a certain type of Visa, however you want to label it. But get that invoice once you pay the bill, of course, and file it. And you want to do the same with your ATM transactions, your banking information, your credit union information, anything you get from those. But starting that filing system immediately helps you because there's nothing worse than creating a big pile of stuff to be filed. Oh, that's my pile of stuff to be filed. And those piles just tend to get bigger and bigger. They never seem to get filed. There never seems to be time to do it. So doing it immediately is the smart thing to do. I also recommend you organize your bills the minute they come in. Many people stuff those bills in a drawer, usually somewhere around the front door or the kitchen. That can be dangerous because that's how bills get lost, and especially when it comes to credit card bills and time-sensitive things that you need to take care of. Stuffing them in a drawer can lead to them getting lost and forgotten, and that can have financial consequences these days. One tip we got from Young Money is to buy used books, and that's not a big surprise for those of you who are veterans of college, but Freshmen, new people to the college scene, maybe not be quite accustomed to using used books and may think, eh, I don't want used books, I want new ones. Well, a trip down the aisle and looking at the prices of new books may convince you pretty easily that used books are the way to go. Those things are pretty expensive, even used. Book sharing is a good way to go, too, if you make friends with people who are in your major when you get to that situation. It's a good idea, too. Maybe you can share some of the expenses. Watch out for car expenses. Often, it makes more sense not to have a vehicle when you go to college. If you're at college with a vehicle, between parking, insurance, worries about theft, damage, just the gas prices alone. If you're at a campus where you can get around using the campus or public transportation, using a bike, walking, those kinds of things, even carpooling may be a better alternative than having your own vehicle. Maybe you have a vehicle, but you only use it maybe to travel back home or in special circumstances. But for the most part, many large campuses, of course, and even mid-sized campuses are pretty self-sustaining. And if you're staying in the dorms, you may not need a vehicle. I know it's tough to part with that beloved vehicle, but maybe it's best to even leave it at home. So that's another tip from Young Money Magazine, ways to save money. These are just basic tips, strategies that maybe you've thought about, maybe you haven't. Maybe your parents have mentioned these to you, and maybe it helps to hear from us. Credit cards are always a big question when it comes to beginning college, and I've gotten lots of emails over the years about the importance of having a credit card in case of emergencies, and that's always a tricky one. There are some people who can handle a credit card, and there are others who cannot. There are some people who are ready for a credit card and others who are not, and that's a tough one because everybody feels like they're ready for a credit card. But, you know, it is not just as simple as filling out the application and getting the card. The real question for me is, I mean, anybody can fill out the application at spring break and get the T-shirt and get a brand new credit card at 25% interest and a $50 annual fee. By the way, watch out for those annual fees and the interest rates when you apply for the card. However, the real important part of it for me is when you get the card, how do you handle it? It's very easy to overuse a credit card, with the idea being, well, I'll just pay the bill when it comes. And then when the bill comes, you can't afford to pay it. And credit card companies are very nice. They only want a small minimum payment when they send you a bill. They generally don't ask you for payment in full. So it's pretty easy to just make a $20 or $30 minimum payment and figure you'll take care of it next time. And that will roll over. Remember, credit card interest compounds daily. So you're paying interest every day that you carry a balance. So you've got to be very careful. What I suggest, and I'm not anti-credit card at all, but what I suggest is if you have a credit card, you need to make sure and plan for any things that you are going to purchase and add them to your spending plan so you can afford them. If you don't think you can pay off a credit card purchase, we'll call it the 60-day rule. If you're going to make a purchase with a credit card, if you don't think, based on what it says in your spending plan, that you'll be able to repay that borrowed money for that purchase in the next 60 days or the next two billing cycles from the credit card company, you may want to not make that purchase today or find something a little less expensive. It's called the 60-day rule when using your credit card, and it's something we highly recommend here at Young Money. Today's show is made possible by the In Charge Education Foundation, a national nonprofit financial education organization dedicated to personal literacy education for all Americans, and by Young Money Magazine, distributed on college campuses across America. For subscription information, visit youngmoney.com. You're listening to Young Money Radio. I'm Mike Sciano. Hey, if you have ideas for future segments of the show, a financial question, or if you'd like to submit some audio, like an interesting interview, for possible use here on Young Money Radio, send your email to radio@youngmoney.com. That's radio@youngmoney.com.
What is Young Money Magazine? Young Money is the only money and lifestyle magazine written by young adults for young adults. Young Money features bold celebrity interviews, real-life strategies for finding your dream job, insider tips for starting your own business, and updates on the latest tech gadgets. Young Money Magazine is your life right now. Find out more at youngmoney.com.
Young Money Radio.
Welcome back to Young Money Radio, our special back-to-school edition of the show. We're so glad to have you here. We hope you enjoy Young Money Magazine. The new issue is out on campuses across America, featuring IndyCar racer Danica Patrick. It's a must-read. The magazine's great. And, of course, if you have questions or comments, feel free to send them to us via email. Our email address is radio@youngmoney.com. You can also visit youngmoney.com and check out all the great information and access to the web on youngmoney.com. We get emails all the time, lots of great money questions, and we get to them on the show occasionally. But here are some good ones as we do our back-to-school financial smarts program. Mike, what is the difference between a student credit card and a secured credit card? That's a great question. Well, student credit card is really just a marketing term that a lender may use to attract young people and parents, but does not have any real meaning. A credit card marketed as a student credit card could also be a secured credit card, requiring a deposit. That's the main difference between credit cards and secured credit cards, is that a secured credit card requires some sort of deposit. That's what secures it. So, for example, you might be required by a bank or credit union to deposit $500 into a savings account that will earn interest, by the way. But in return, you'll get a credit card with a available balance of $500. Now, you need to be careful because many secured credit card companies charge a huge fee. I've seen them as high as $250. That's right, $250 for a $500 available balance. And guess what? The fee goes right onto the card immediately. So thinking you have a $500 available balance, really, it's only $250, and you owe $250 because of the fee. So watch out for that. Plus, you've made a $500 deposit into the savings account that you can't touch. That money's there in case you default. So you got to be really careful. Cards targeting young people often carry high interest rates and high fees, along with many other fees. There could be monthly fees on top of annual fees. So watch out. Secured credit cards might be a good option if you absolutely cannot qualify for a regular credit card. But just keep in mind that there are many marketing tactics that are used on college students, and it may sound great. You may get a great prize for filling out the application, but just be sure to read the fine print. And that's smart advice for anybody. Here's another question that we received via email at radio@youngmoney.com. And by the way, when you do send in your emails about money questions, those come directly to me. I will answer those questions personally and discreetly. We're not going to share those with 20 people on our staff. Those come in our box. We keep them secure, and we'll answer you directly. We may use them on the air. We may not. You don't have to use a real name. If you'd like us not to use your email on the air, just make a note of that in your email. But just remember, by answering your question, we could be helping thousands of others who are in the same boat. This email question has to do with student loans and their effect on credit scores. Will having student loans, which, by the way, Mike, are currently deferred, totaling $80,000, negatively affect my credit score or my ability to get a mortgage? Also, I recently got reports from the big three credit reporting agencies, which indicated a number of open credit card accounts with zero balances. Would it positively affect my credit score to close those accounts officially? All right, there's two big questions here that bear answering. First of all, yes, if you have an outstanding debt load of up to $80,000, that will certainly affect your ability to obtain more debt in the form of a mortgage loan or any other kind of loan. There are many other factors that will be considered when you apply for a mortgage or any kind of credit, such as your income, your job stability, other debts, your payment history, the value of a home that you're looking to buy with that loan. So there are other factors, but watch out. Whenever you have $80,000, whether it's a student loan or some other kind of debt, that is definitely going to have an effect on your ability to take on more debt. Just put yourself in the shoes of any lender looking at you to loan you some money. They're going to see that $80,000 hanging over your head like a big dark cloud. So it's going to make you more risky. So just watch out for that. Closing accounts may or may not positively affect your credit score, but chances are they could hurt your credit score. You've got to be very careful when you have older credit card accounts, ones that are open. Now, these have zero balances, as you say, which means they're in good standing. There's no big debt on those, so they're in good standing. Closing those may negatively affect your credit score because you're doing two things. One, you're eliminating part of your available balance. And one of the big factors in determining your credit score and your risk factor from a lender's point of view is your usage ratio. Quickly, if you have two credit cards, for example, each one has $5,000 available balance, that gives you $10,000 total available balance. Well, if you were to close one of those cards, you immediately cut your available balance in half down to $5,000. Now, if you were to have some balance on those cards, say you had $5,000 total debt between those two cards. Say it's on one card. One card maxed out at $5,000. The other one has a $5,000 balance available, but it's all open, all paid off. So you have $10,000 total, but your usage ratio is 50% because you have $5,000 debt. So if you close one of the cards, guess what? Your usage ratio shoots up to 100% of your new available balance of $5,000. So see, that would negatively affect your credit score. Our advice, be very careful about closing accounts because the longer you've had accounts open and your usage ratio, those are things that determine what your credit score is. If you've had an account open for 10 years in good standing, closing that account immediately eliminates 10 years of good credit history. So be very careful on that count. One last thing on this special back-to-school edition of Young Money Radio, some quick tips for parents when it comes to their students dealing with money. As we said at the top of the show, we have 30% of college students graduating with $10,000 or more in credit card debt. So many parents may be really worried about letting their students have credit cards. Many of you parents remain very involved in your students' lives financially. Others not so much involved, but just stay on the sidelines and give advice every once in a while. If you're going to stay involved in your students' financial life, here are some quick tips for you parents. Number one, set some ground rules, including whether or not they can have a credit card. And if they do have a credit card, how the student can use it, what they're expected to pay for, what you're going to handle. That's very important, especially if the student is looking to you for advice, guidance, and help managing the money. Make sure they're always thinking about paying off their portion of the credit card balance in full and on time. This is very important. Many parents give their students a credit card or they help them apply for it and get it, and then they totally forget about it. If you're a parent and your student has a credit card, it makes good sense for you to stay in touch with them and make sure that they're paying their bills at least on time, if not in full. It would be smart to pay them in full. Make sure and explain the concept of interest rates, the importance of a good credit score, and long-term consequences of failing to pay bills. The damaging effect on credit can last for years. And make sure that you help them go through and reconcile their banking statements, whether it's credit card statements or a checking account and savings statement. It's very important. And hey, parents, you may be realizing, wow, I better get my financial house in order before I start to give tips, information, and help to my students. So that's my final tip to you parents. Get on top of your bills, your personal finances, get your spending plan done because you are a financial role model for your students. Well, this edition of Young Money Radio was made possible by the In Charge Education Foundation and Young Money Magazine. Your continued corporate and personal support of our financial literacy mission for all young people is greatly appreciated. Sponsorships make the production of this program and the publication and distribution of Young Money Magazine on college campuses nationwide possible. To help lend your support, or if you have questions, comments, or suggestions, send an email to radio@youngmoney.com. or visit us online at youngmoney.com. This radio program is available for listening 24/7 online at youngmoney.com. Young Money Magazine is a publication of the In Charge Education Foundation, a national nonprofit financial education organization. I'm Mike Sciano, and for everyone here at Young Money, thanks for listening and enjoy your life right now.